Again, I welcome you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to have my brother here, although he had me a little worried. He handed me the preacher microphone, and then during the last song, he proceeded to walk off. So I thought for sure somebody out in the audience was going to have to preach a sermon tonight. But I'm thankful to have my brother here. I always appreciate his humility and his love that you can see in his walk in life and his desire to spread the gospel. I'm thankful for that. He's a good example for me, and I know that we will be richly blessed today as the Lord has prepared a word for him. I give you our brother, Jose Galvan.
Thank you so much for those kind words, brother. I thank you for all of you to be here. I see a lot of different faces, and I hope you guys are find yourself comfortable. Because I can say maybe I'm not up here, but as you all know that it's hard to stand before you. But I heard something this morning from our brother that preached this morning and the temple lab. He says something that really come from it. He's been in the gospel for many, many years. He still finds himself nervous. So I'm not the only one. And as brother say, I see somebody walking away. But I was just getting some water because my throat is kind of whatever is in there is. Try this water, but it didn't work out. But so I hope everything goes well. I praise God for giving me the strength and for giving me the courage, for encouraging me to continue on, and the faith that we have, and as we know, and we have seen and we have noticed that, especially with this going on right now, you know, your heart can get harder. Because it's so easy to either come or not to turn your TV or your computer, being at home. But I praise God for the ark that we have, for the for the faith that we have for what we know about Christ, and for those things that we have learned that it's not easy for us to give up just like that. And I'm really happy to see all of you here. Our work is not done, and our work will never be done. You know, I was talking to this old man, one of my clients, and he was telling me he's a pastor. He was a pastor, we have a little bit of talk, and he's like, "But I'm retired. I'm just getting my money now. I'm just getting my paycheck and mail, pretty much." And like, "You retired for a while from preaching?" And he's like, yeah, that'd be nice. That must be nice. I hope you're happy with that. As we know, our payment is not something that you get to enjoy here in earth. Our payment, and as long as we endure to the end, it will be up in heaven. And for what I know, as I belong to this church, and I know that it's the truth that you don't have any payment in this earth. For whatever you do, it's for the well. As Christ said, you know, my true disciples are the ones that do my Father's will. And that's who we are, you know. And applies to us, to all of us, not just me or the minister. It applies to every single one. The beliefs and do his will, his commandments. And all that stuff. I was just thinking, you know, for whatever reason, I remember when I went to Yucatan with the brothers, and I didn't ask many questions, prepare myself to go with them. So, but I saw them, every single one of them had this little bottle full of hand sanitizer. And it's nothing that, you know, that you don't want to touch something. You just don't know. And it's just for safety reasons. And so they always, every time they shake somebody's hands up there, they will put them. And I didn't have one, so I'm like, "Oh, I need to get myself one so I fit in." But it's something that you learn, and now I use it every day. I use it every day. My hands are getting cracked or something. It's like it's killing the germs, but it's killing also the good germs. It's good, but I just can't wait for this to be over. But as we know, we are here to hear the good word, the good tidings. That's what they call it in the scriptures. And I pray and hope that what I have today, what God has put in my heart, is a blessing for you. Because all these things, and as you walk in this earth, and either you be in work or you friends or gathering, you knowing the word of God, He speaks to you as you are involved with this group of people or in work. And since you know what God wants of you, and you see all these things going on around you, that's how He can work on you and put a message on you. Like, you know, I see this, and I think I need to speak a little bit about this, and because it's needed. Every word in the scriptures is needed. It's needed for us to hear and to help us to walk in the straight and narrow path that we are. That we may be able to win that race, right? That is our goal, to win this race. I don't mind if I be the third person behind. I just want to be in the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you, but that's my goal. That's my goal. And sometimes I feel discouraged because I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. I have had a lot of opportunities to speak to a lot of people in my work. They're young guys, and perhaps my words, they just go right through the ears and go out to the other one. But our work is not over, and perhaps we need to pray for that and ask God to give us what we need, that we may not feel like that, like we're not doing our work. For Him, you know, to try to bring more souls to Him as God commands His disciples before He went to heaven. Go around the world, baptizing them, that they may be saved. You know, Paul, he was a choosing apostle to do the most danger or more difficult work, that he was able to go to many places besides the other ones. For what I know, you know, Paul went to the Gentiles, to the Romans, and so I feel like that's like us, you know, that's who we are. We're like Paul. We are choosing to go and to preach the word to all those who are hungry for it and those that do not know Christ. And we know that our little church has been and all over the place. You know that the word of God has been to the whole world. I believe so. I believe, especially right now with all this through computers, through the smartphones, through all that technology that we have now. I believe that everyone up there has heard about Christ. And the plans that He has. So, don't tell me that you haven't heard about that. But I'm pretty sure people that are like really, really into the places where it's hard to get to them, perhaps that's the ones that we need to work on, and perhaps that's the ones that God is telling us to go to. That opportunity hasn't come yet, but the United States is made of many, many nations. And perhaps there is many nations up here, and there is a lot of work to do in the United States by itself. Because there's people from all over the world in this country. So, you know, we are here for one reason. And as I said, and I said again, if you have the opportunity to witness to someone Christ, don't waste it and just take the chance. Take the chance, and you know, as the scriptures say, God's word never comes back empty. you're going to plant that seed, and that seed is going to start to swallow. I did it many times, but there's always someone up there. That's what I think. There's always someone out there who has better words than me, better words than me. Or maybe I didn't make myself clear, and that's why all these people are not here. A lot of them, they have come here, but then they just don't come back. I don't know what it is. As soon as they find out that we read the Book of Mormon, perhaps, how is the God work in my heart? How is it that I didn't walk away like Brother Steven said? How is it? I mean, God knows his own people. He knows his choosing one. He knows who will be his child of God. He already knows. And he knows already who is not going to follow him. So sometimes because that, I feel a little bit discouraged. But we're going to read in 2 Nephi here. I have my notes already. Write down, like always, makes it easy for me to read. But if you have your books, you might want to follow, because my accent is kind of thick, and sometimes I say words, maybe they mean something else, but not that I mean it. 2 Nephi 12, 9, we're going to read to 12, 9 to 12. Yea, and there shall be many which will say, eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. And that is what the days are we living. You know, just Friday, okay. I mean, I say Friday because I know a lot of people, a lot of my friends, co-workers, they go and have fun and drink. And then the next day, hey, you went to church, God bless you, and all this. And I'm like, I just kind of wanted to just drop the bomb and you know, and just say what I want to say, but you know, you had to hold back and treat everybody with love because only God knows their hearts. Who am I to judge? No one to judge. No one of us are here to judge. Only God. And that day will come. All you can do is continue on causing, showing good examples and so they can see the difference between you and them. And there shall also be many which shall say, eat and drink and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God. This is what they're thinking. Fear God. Okay, they got it right there. He will justify and commit, he will justify in committing a little sin. Yet lay a little take an advantage of one because of this word. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There's no harm in this. And do all these things for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes. In the last, we shall be saved. And his kingdom. And the kingdom of God. You know, I saw something about that. And what do you mean he will just strike? He will just strap you, give you a few stripes, a few hits or whatever, I don't know, whip you or something. And then he will say, it's okay, just go ahead and go in. I don't see it that way. But that's what the world thinks today. And this is what we're dealing with. Once you have speak the truth to them, they decide to go somewhere. And even in this church, people have lived and go to some other church. Not trying to cast any contention, but that is the truth. Why? Why they have gone to another church? We're going to jump in the same, let me just read to all. Yea, and there shall be many which will teach after the manner false, vain, and foolish doctrines. That's what people want to hear. And you know, in the beginning of the Book of Mormon, you know how they teach of dream that Lehi has. You know, once they have tasted the fruit of the tree, how they feel shame when those people in the building were pointed onto them with a finger, dressing all nice and everything. Like they're like, whoa, I would like to be over there. They want to be like the world. They want to dress nice and show all these things that perhaps they make them feel lifted up. And that's what the word is today. And perhaps, you know, that's what we are dealing with. And we're, that, actually, that's what we're dealing with every day. So we just have to be strong and pray that God will, you know, give us strength and continue and to help us to continue showing the love that he wants us to show. In Luke 12:47-48, we read, and the servant which know his Lord well and prepare not himself, neither there according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. That is the one reference that I found here. And the servant which knew his Lord and prepared not himself, neither there according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did not commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with a few stripes. For unto whomsoever is much given, of him shall much be required. And unto whom men have commit much, of him they will ask more. So the stripes, I'm like, what in the world? What's going on here? And the Bible doesn't say anything that we have to go through that, and then we'd be okay if we commit some sin. But there's a lot of churches that do teach that you can have a drink, you can do something that you enjoy, you can have fun, and then on Sunday come and repent and say, what if you prayers and you'll be okay, you'll be able to enter into his kingdom. But this is not how it works. As we believers, we have to be prepared all the time and not be foolish like the 10 virgins talks about. We have to be prepared all the time. And because this epidemic that we're dealing with right now, is sometimes I even myself feel lazy to pick up my scriptures. I confess. I'm so focusing on my work and on other things, and it's just the time just goes so fast. It flies. And the night come, 9, 10 at night, I'm so tired. And I'm trying so hard to pick up scriptures, and I just read it, and I don't feel them. I don't feel them. And I feel so bad. I feel so bad for that. I'm confessing to you guys. But we have to get up and be strong and remember what God wants of us. Have the faith that won't, you know, not to quench the spirit. You have to have the fire up all the time. And be, try the best you can to continue strong in those beliefs and what God wants of you and who you are. You are the child of God. You have made a commandment with him. He has sealed you as his child. And that's who we are. Don't go back to the, just like the scripture says, don't be like the dog that goes back to his vomit. Don't do that. We cannot be like the waves of the ocean. We're going to get there. And even as remembers in the Book of Mormon, with the king Sniff, I don't know if I'm saying it right, who was one of the kings of the Nephites, who was doing the right thing in his terms of being in charge of the people. Sniff was he was a follower. He was a good example. He will obey God's word, God's commandments, and he did that to guide his people to be a good leader for them. But of course, you know, you don't know who's coming after you. He passed and he left his son Noah. Mosiah, I'm going to read Mosiah 7, chapter 7, verse 9-10. And it says, yea, and thus we were they superb in their laziness. This is what the king Mosiah, the king Noah was about, you know, to do. He didn't follow what his father told him to do. Right? He showed him through his life, through the time he was reigning as king. He passed, He left Noah in charge. And of course, we all know how King Noah was. And this is what it says. Yea, and that's where they support and their laziness, and then the idolatry and their whoredoms by the taxes which King Noah had put upon his people. That's their people labor exceedingly to support iniquity. Yea, and they also become idolatrous because they were deceived by the vain of flattering words. That is the key word right there. And that is the words that are flowing around us these days. Like I said, perhaps our words are just like, they don't cause that much affection in their hearts, or these other people who have thousands of church members in those mega churches have better words than we are. The scriptures are the same. The message in the Book of Mormon is the same. The words in the Book of Mormon, it makes the Bible strong to what it says there. It's a witness, not just a witness, but it made it clear to me. And it can make it clear to others, because the way it's explained it is a way that you like, okay, so in the book of, in the Bible is the King James, it's hard to read it sometimes, but in the Book of Mormon, it's so easy and it makes more sense to you. So I don't know what the problem is, but flattering words, we are always big fighting for with them, towards them. And that's because that's what this word teaches these people today. They're not preaching this, how to be saved, how to be a true disciple of Christ, but only of the things that they make them have joy, and the things of this world, to the materialism of the world that they offer them. That's what they teach, how to become rich and how to make more than anybody else. But we all know that that's just temporary. That's temporary, and you're not taking it with you. We have to build treasures in heaven, not on earth. In Alma 21, chapter 21, verse 29 to 35. And it says, and it came to pass that as many as would now hearken to the words of Helaman and his brethren were gathered together against their brethren. And now behold, they were exceeding wroth, and so much that they were determined to slay them. Now the leader of those which were wroth against their brethren was a large man and a strong man, and his name was Amalekai. And Amalekai was desirous to be a king, and those people which were wroth were also desirous that he should be their king, and they were greater part of them, the lower judges of the land, and they were seeking power. And they had been led by flatterings of Amalekai. Here they are again, and that's what these people being part of the church already, they decide to follow someone else who was teaching them who knows what, how to be powerful and how to gain all these things. So there is right there, flattering of words, Amalekai, that they will support him and establish him to be a king, that they will make them rulers over the people. And this they were led away, thus they were led away by Amalekai. To decisions, notwithstanding to preaching of Helaman and his brethren, yea, notwithstanding their exceeding great care over the church, for they were high priests over the church. These people, they did something that was really bad, knowing the truth, and they decided to do all these things to gain power over people. And that is what it is. The word of God today, it's either for power to keep us in control, which a lot of people do think, or to guide us and direct us on the true and narrow path. You know, how you see it, how you see it. So God will judge us. Because a lot of people out there, they're using the word of God to do all these things. And it looks like it, not just today, but even days back. We can see it. We can see it. They just want to have everything. A nice Cadillac, nice suit. Hey, I went to Ross. This looks nice, isn't it? I got it on Ross. I didn't wear no expensive clothing store, right? But all these people, you know, you saw them and you just had to get out of their way or they run you over because they think that it's so higher than you. And this is what they use the word of God to do those things. That's not how God wants us to work. We have to be ready. Because there is people up there that like the waves of the ocean, back and forth, having itchy ears. That's what the word of God says, having itchy ears. I don't know. It's like they're not turning their whole heart towards God so God can work in them. And that's what we need to do. We need to lean in the words of God. We need to lean in Christ and not to trust the arm of flesh as he told us to do. In 2 Nephi chapter 12, verse 25 and 26, And others will he pacify and lead them away into carnal securities, that they will say it is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prosper. It's all well. Prosper. That's another doctrine that is going around. You know, they just teach how to be prosper. I don't want to be prosper. I like to keep busy and I like to work. It's good for me. It's good for my body. I sweat a lot. I like to do that. I don't want to be just sitting and with all this money and all these things and these pleasures that they have out there. Prosper is not going to get you to heaven. It's not going to get you to heaven. And it says all is well, but who teaches all those things? And that's the devil cheat their souls and lead them away carefully down to hell. That's just so, can't argue with that. And perhaps other people, you're trying to tell those things to them and they're like, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to scare me? You can say, yes, I'm trying to scare you. You're going to be in hell, man. You know, you're going to, I heard a comment, when someone dies, maybe you're just trying to be nice to the families, which you're not allowed to. You can't say those. You can't bring them down as they're going through all that pain. But you cannot say either he's in a better place. He's in a good place. Oh, he's in heaven. Because you don't know. We don't know. At this point, I don't even know which word I should use if I ever run into that. I need to work on that and see and find what word to use because I don't want to give them hopes. You know what he was doing. You know how he was acting. You know his personality. I have a lot of family that are my own. I know they're not going to heaven if they don't repent. I just know. And I feel sorry for them, yes. But the enemy have them in his hands. I know that for sure. For what I know, for what I have learned and read in the scriptures, Satan have them in his hands. In Galatians chapter 4, we're going to read 8 to 11. It says, When you know not God, you dare service unto them which by natural are no gods. But now after that you have no God, or rather are knowing of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? wherein to you desire again to be in bondage. You observe the days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. What I've been working, Paul says, and once you have turned yourself away from it and follow Christ, you decide to go back and be a slave again of those things that you enjoy? What are we doing? I mean, are we just speaking to the wind? What is causing for these people to go and never come back? What are we? It's just right here. Are we working in vain? Are we speaking in vain? What's going on here? And I hope that a lot of people up there are listening through the live streaming. You know, you're able to come back. God is waiting for you. Christ is waiting for you. You're not lost. You should not be lost. You cannot be lost. God has so much mercy. He forgives you. And the doors are open for you to come back. Our work is never in vain. I don't think so. I don't think it's in never. We never preach in vain. You make a choice. You make a choice, and that choice is not just you, but somebody else is working with you. Those flattering words, don't let them get you in your heart. Because your heart, you can trust your heart 100%. Your heart will deceive you. Your heart will fail you. Can't trust your heart 100%. But don't let this affliction get you. I'm not going to let this affliction get me. And it should not let you guys, because we all going through that. You feel it in your heart when you know that someone has walked away from church, when someone has not been in church. I know, because you care, and that's what I love about my little group here, my little church, that we all care for each other. We all care for each other. Let us pray for each other. That's what that song in the hymn says. Let us pray for each other. That's how truthful is that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 to 5. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and in his kingdom. Preach the word. That's our word. Preach the word. Be instead in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrines, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things and endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. These verses right here, it's like it's telling us directly the things to do, and don't let these things of the world deceive you. We all know the true doctrine. We have learned it. We have heard it over and over. But, you know, as this brother, Mike McGee, that's his name. He said even John the Baptist, who was chosen to prepare the word, to prepare the way of Christ, baptizing people for repentance. Even him had doubts. And so much that he sent his disciples to ask him, is you who we are waiting for, or there's someone else? He had doubts. And I was thinking about that, and that's so true. That's so true. So Christ has to say, tell him all you have seen, all you have seen me do. And Christ, when he was here, all the works that he did, it was no other better way to probe, to choose that he was the Messiah. But because people love more this darkness, and he knew their evil things that they were doing, that's why he was crucified. He was killed. He was killed and crucified because he knew their truth. It's like he can see through their hearts and the things that they were thinking. My brother Hubert always says, God can see you right there where you're sitting right now in the bench. He can see and know what you're thinking right now. And because that, it should hold you back when all those things that you might want to do, but you know it's not good, it should hold you back just to think about those things and be afraid of God. Because he can see everything. And what if he say everything that's been done in the dark will come out to the light in the last day? Let's just think about those words and have them and keep them in your heart that you can think about those things when you are up there outside. Because sin is outside. I said it one time. It's just right outside your door. Don't open the door to sin. It will come in. It will come in. Sin is everywhere. 3 Nephi 7:1-6. And now it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, he cast their eyes round about in the multitude and saying to them, behold, you have heard the things which I have thought before I send it to my Father. Therefore, whose remember these sayings of me and do them, him I will raise up in the last day. Remember the things that he did. Remember all the promises that he gave us. And that's why that's why we are desired, because he works in our hearts and desire to follow him. Therefore, who remember these sayings of mine and do them, him I will raise up in the last day. And it came to pass that when Jesus had said these words, he perceived there were some among them which marvel and wondering what he will concern the law of Moses. For they understood not, saying that all things have passed away and that all things have become anew. And he saying to them, marvel not that I say unto you that all things have passed away and that all things have become new. Behold, I say unto you that the law is fulfilled that was given to Moses. Behold, I am he that gave the law, and I am he which covenant with my people Israel. Therefore, the law is in me. He is the last sacrifice. No need no more sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin. He was the last one. He holds all power and all everything has been given to him. That's why he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And because he has all the power, he has given us authority to do all these things, to do what we do now. He has given it to us. And this is another thing that is up there that pretty much anybody can preach, pretty much anybody can baptize, anybody can lay hands. I don't even know if they do believe in the laying of hands. I really don't know. They just say that little prayer that is in the back of everyone's Bible, and you are safe. You are safe. You don't need to go in the waters. You don't need to be baptized. And I don't even know if they do follow the laying hands. How do they receive the Holy Spirit? That gift that Christ said, I'm not going to be here, but I'm sending you a companion, someone who's going to guide you and direct you in your life. Someone who's going to tell you, warn you of things to stay away and things to do. How do they receive that gift? I really don't know. But and that's something that's why we, as Church of Christ, we follow that doctrine. And perhaps that is what it convinced me when I used to go to Brothers Bob's house and hear him teaching my wife. At the same time, he was teaching my wife, and he was preaching to me because I was sitting right there giving him my back, sitting on his couch. How did this work? He was teaching my wife, but at the same time, he was teaching me, and I was just acting like I didn't hear. But perhaps that's how the word of God works. Sorry. Now I cannot see it so blurry. 2 Kings 4:38-41. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a deer in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. He said to his servant, Sit on the great pot and set it a porridge for the sons of the prophets. And one went into the field and gathered herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shared them into the pot at the porridge, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the porridge, that they cried out and say, "O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. There is death." And they could not eat therefore. This is something that brought my attention. Are you 100% sure that you are receiving the right food? You know how God says, food is, for me, is to do the will of God. You know, not just by bread men will live. So do you know what bread are you taking today? Do you know what food are you being fed in other churches? You know, are you sure you're eating the right thing? Are you sure they're giving you the right message that you may feel? These verses right here, it says, don't just sit down and eat what you not eat, what you not know what you're eating. But he say, 41, then bring me meal, which is flour. And he cast it into the pot. And he say, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. That is interesting to me. Because all he did, he put flour in the pot. And whatever it was cooked. These guards that he's talking about here, I did a research on it. They look like cucumbers or something. But there's so many kinds that a lot of them are poisons. They are poison. And if you don't know what you're eating, you're going to be poison. You're going to be poison. God says, Christ said to his disciples, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Be aware of the false doctrines. Be aware about what they're feeding you. Be aware. Are you sure you're getting the right food? And why is it has to be down? I mean, why it has to be flour? God feed his people in the desert flour, manna, whatever it was. Christ used bread to remember him and the cross, to remember all what he did and remember who he was and our duty, what to do until he comes back. That's how we remember as a church every month we take sacrament, bread. I don't know. It's just this, all this points to him. To me, poison is sin. It's darkness. But flower, remove it. Remove the sin. Doctrines today can be poison into your heart. You have to know what you're eating. You have to know. This pastor went to see, he went to ministry, this old lady at one of the hospitals. And as he sat down, he saw there was a dish there full of peanuts. And he, before they start talking, he's like, you mind if I have some peanuts? And she's like, yeah, go ahead. Sure, no problem. And so she talked and talked and talked. And the pastor was just listening. And when he noticed there was no more peanuts in the dish, and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I have eaten all your peanuts. Will you forgive me? And she's like, well, that's okay. I forgive you. I can't chew them anymore, so I just suck them and spit them out in the dish. You have to know what you're eating. You have to know what you're eating. In John 8:12, then speak Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Stay away from the darkness. Stay away. There is nothing good in the darkness. But men prefer the darkness more than the light. Everything was all put together. And I believe it was all put together for us. He knew. He knew his end, how it's going to be. He did it for us because he loves us. He is the light. There's no darkness in him. There's no more poison. There's no poison. There's no poison in him. It is darkness and poison here right now. And it's all around us. In John 6:35, and Jesus say unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. He is the bread of life. In John 6:48, actually. Same chapter, verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as you fathers did eat manna and they are dead. He that eat of this bread shall live forever. And I hope and pray that the bread that we give every time one of us stands up here, you should eat it. You should keep it with you. Because he is the bread of life, and whosoever eats shall be saved. That is what he's teaching us. So why would you go around and look to hear a better words, better messages, better people, better dress, better church, better groups, musical groups, better Starbucks in the lobby? Do we need all that? I don't think so. I don't think we need all that to be safe and to feel part of Christ, you know. Become a Christian is not just that. You still saved. No. You have a lot of work to do. And actually, it gets worse. It gets worse. When you become a Christian, it gets worse. Your life is worse. But it's worse for one reason. Pick up your cross every day and follow me. That's what he says. You're going to run into so many problems and obstacles in your life. But don't let that make you fall. You just, and if you do, you just get up. Get up, turn to the right way. Once you have realized that you messed up, get back in the way. Get back. And don't Don't think that Christ, that once you have messed up, he's not going to want you anymore back in his fall. He loves you, and he does not want to lose any of us. And maybe that's why he has taken a while. But let's not forget that for 1 year for him, one day for him is 1 year. 1 year is, for us is 10 years for him. So he's not delayed. But we have to be prepared and ready. Third Nephi. Chapter 8, verse 31 to 36. It says, and when they had eaten and were filled, he commanded they should give unto the multitude. And when the multitude had eaten and were filled, he said unto them, unto the disciples, behold, there should be one be ordained among you, and to him I will give power, that he should break the bread and bless it and give it unto the people of my church. And to the day, and today, which church will live, and be baptized in my name. And this shall you always observe to do, even as I have done, even as I have broken bread and blessed it and give it unto you. And this shall you do in remembrance of my body, which I have shown to you. And it should be a testimony to the Father that you do always remember me. And if you do always remember me, you should have my spirit to be with you. And that is what we have right now. And that's how we remember. And right here, my understanding is that we have our ministry that were called by the power of the Holy Spirit through his ministries, as he did it a long time ago. And that tells me that I am in the true church. But it's hard for a lot of people to believe that. And you don't want to throw that and that to them right away. There's something that they're going to have to learn. It's like a progress. It will come to them. You see, they came to me. Only him can clean you. Only him can forgive you. And as ministers, with authority, can only baptize you and lay the hands for you to receive the Holy Spirit. In Psalms, this is my last couple of scriptures here. In Psalms, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. We don't need to offer no more sacrifice to gain that, because he has fulfilled, as I just read, he has fulfilled all the law. He has put it to us more easy than anything. All we have to do is accept and open our heart to him. And you will be clean. Psalms 51, 16 to 17. For thou desirest not sacrifice. For thou desirest not sacrifice. Else will I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are broken, a broken spirit, and broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou will not despise us. He will not fail you. He's always with you. He promised to be with us. And as I have read all this, I hope that your heart will swallow up joy, as we all hope that perhaps of all these words, and they're not flattering words, because I put them out right from the true scriptures, has been a true blessing to you this day. So I thank you for your time and for hearing today the word of God.